in the book of Mark, which is on the screen there. If you look at Mark chapter 11, verse 11 to 14, and then you look at Mark, the same chapter 11, and you look at verse 20 to 26. Specifically and clearly, it is stated in the verse 22, Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. And what Jesus was literally saying from the original manuscript in the translation, translated into the King James the King James English you have there, is he was literally saying, you have the faith, the same kind of faith that God has, that God operates in. Have the God kind of faith. So we started the series right from, you know, the start of this month, and we've been looking at faith, the subject of faith. We looked at it on Sundays, we looked at it on Thursdays, and today will be like the icing on the cake when we will like to address questions that people may have. And already the questions have started coming in. So please go again to, I'll give the account again where you can. So it's there, or you can put it in the live comments if you are on Facebook Live and you are watching. So that is where you need to go, www.sli.do, hashtag 49448. So I'll leave that for a while. And I want to share something exciting with us tonight. When I say exciting, you know, because each time I open the scriptures, it's as if I see something that I didn't see before, even though I've read the same scripture over and over. And tonight, I want to kick off from where we stopped last week. Last week, we looked at what should I do if I start doubting God's promises, or if I start doubting God's word, if I get to a place in my walk of faith where I am having doubts, where I don't believe again, or I believe really, but I'm struggling with what I believe in. And, you know, we looked at the scripture from Mark chapter 9, you know, verses 17. We looked at verses 17 to verse 24. And you know what the story was there? It was the story of a man whose son was sick. And, you know, I want to say shout out, special shout out to somebody. And I know the person is watching, but I will save them the name. But, you know, we sat back even after the last Thursday study, and we looked at this scripture, this amazing encounter that Jesus had with this man who brought his sick son. The son was, you know, foaming. The son had a situation where he was tormented, you know, a foul spirit, an evil spirit, a demon was tormenting him. And the demon would torment him, throw him down, and at times even throw him into the fire. You know, that's not normal. When someone begins to foam, begins to, you know, roll on the ground and then does not even recognize danger anymore, that's not normal. But, you know, we see things like that actually happening in real life. They actually happen. It may not be that people go into fire, but you just see people doing things uncontrollably. It is not normal. You see, medical science will give it names. According to medical science, they could say that the young man, you know, is going through seizure. He's experiencing seizures, you know, epileptic fit and things like that. You know, so you see, all the things we experience in life, the sicknesses, the diseases, all the ailments that, you know, trouble our bodies, you will actually see them in the Bible. You will see the issues with mental health, people having, you know, mental health breakdown. They are all in the Bible. You see people, you know, who can't walk, who are crippled, they're in the Bible. You see people who are paralyzed, they're in the Bible. You know what stroke does? It paralyzes, especially, you know, from the little I know, I'm not in the medics, but, you know, one side of the body. We see all these things in the Bible. And that's why this subject of faith in God is very important. Because let's see how the Bible, how Jesus addressed these things we experience, the things that are common with us, the problems of life, the diseases, the headaches, the heartaches, the paralysis, the epilepsies, the mental health breakdowns, they are all in the Bible. It's just that, you know, in modern times, all these things have, medical science have researched and just come up with names for them. But there's really nothing new under heaven. So remember that story last week in Mark chapter 9 from verse 17 to 24. Please, you can note it down and read it again. What happened was that this man brought his son to Jesus' disciples. He brought his son to Jesus' disciples. And the disciples tried everything they could, and they could not heal this son. They couldn't help him. They could not, whatever was wrong with the boy, they prayed, they did everything they could. So what now happened was that the Bible tells us that Jesus now came to where the disciples, the man and his son were, and was asking them, because when you look at it from that verse 16 of Mark chapter 9, you know, let's look at the story in context. Jesus came and he asked them, you know, one version says he asked, what are you discussing? You know, what's happening here, more or less? Because the crowd had gathered, the sun was right in their midst there, and there was chaos. So Jesus asked, what are you discussing? What's happening here, more or less? And the Bible declares in verse 17 that one of the crowd replied to him. And he said, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him unable to speak. See? The spirit, whatever was wrong with this son, even caused him to be dumb, all right? So you see people in real life today who are actually dumb. We see people who are deaf. And he now went further, the man went further. Now I'm reading from the Amplified version of the Bible. He just amplifies it and, you know, expands the word. He says, whenever he seizes him, please, your questions, keep them coming. All right, just keep them coming. Let me just display the Slido account again so that in case you didn't catch it as I continue to read the scripture. So he says in verse 18, he kept on describing what was wrong with the boy. It says, the spirit makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him intending to do harm, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, becomes stiff. Is that not familiar? If you've dealt or you've seen someone going through a fit before you, this is exactly what happens, what they go through. And he says, I told your disciples to drive it out and they could not do it. And Jesus was going to respond. Hear what Jesus said. Please look at this key. I'm just going through this so that we address the questions and just do a kind of a recap and reminder. What do I do when I begin to doubt, when I don't believe, when my faith is weak? Oh, we will see something again tonight from Romans chapter 4. Okay, it says, Jesus answered. Look at what Jesus said. He says, oh, unbelieving, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. Verse 20, Mark chapter 9, they brought the boy to him, that's to Jesus. When the demonic spirit saw him, now recognized that what was making the boy to be dumb, throw himself to the floor, foam in the mouth, become stiff, and at times almost throw himself into fire, not recognizing danger, was recognized here as a demonic spirit. Now, listen, you don't see spirits. And that is why the world struggles with things like this. They can see a manifestation of what a spirit inside a human body does. But medical science does not recognize spirit because their faith comes by what they see, what they hear with the physical ears, what they touch, what they taste, what they can handle, you know, five senses. Remember, we talked about faith in the impossible. Please always use your five senses. And we concluded that let your five senses conclude, bring you to the conclusion that this condition, this circumstance is beyond what human knowledge, wisdom can handle. So, you know, doctors, psychiatrists will just prescribe medicines, medication and things like that. But listen, medicine can numb, but medicine cannot cast out a spirit. Tablets, capsules cannot cast out a spirit. They're, you know, nerve numbing medication that can be given, you know, to help the nervous system, to calm down the nervous system and all that, you know, but they can't cast out the spirit. They can calm down the nervous system. They can bring some temporary relief, but we're looking for a permanent solution. Jesus here, and even the people then, recognize that this is not ordinary. This is a spirit. Remember, science was not as advanced as it is now in this Bible time. So you see, they just believed, they understood that this was a demonic attack. So they brought it to Jesus. See how their faith operated. See how their belief system was. They went straight to look for a healer, the solution. All right, so the demonic spirit, verse 20, saw Jesus. That's the, excuse me. Pardon me that I'm drinking water. You know, it's not what you think, okay. Somebody say he's coughing. And by the way, it's not a spirit either. So, I just happened that I'm not, you know, my throat dried up. Come on, let's have fun tonight, okay? Before you start casting out the spirit of cough out of me. Because it's not everything that is spirit, okay? Somebody's asking, are you sure, Pastor? Well, I'm sure because I see the dryness in my throat, and that was why I coughed. All right, come on, let's go on. All right, so Jesus now, you know, the demon saw Jesus, and immediately the demon saw Jesus, the demon started manifesting in the boy again, threw the boy down, and he started convulsing. It began rolling, it began foaming in the mouth. So then Jesus now asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? Do you know the response he has? He answered, since childhood. So this condition has been since this boy was a baby, sadly. So it's a long-standing condition. And if you are tuned in tonight and there's a kind of a long-standing condition that refused to go, you've been on long-term medication, I want to challenge you tonight to let your faith, right? Let your faith be activated, your faith in God. Remember, we are using logic. So we're not denying that there's a long-term condition. We're not denying the symptoms. We're not denying what's happening. But we're just talking about the God kind of faith. You see, it goes beyond the physical. And we will see something tonight when we read Romans chapter 4, and then we'll take your questions, all right? Please keep the questions coming. Just keep them coming. We'll address them. And perhaps even as we're talking, some of the questions will already be addressed anyway. So it now says, since childhood, Jesus asks, when has this been happening? Since a long-term condition. And he says, the demon has often thrown him both into the fire, into the water, intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, look at Jesus's prescription. Look at how Jesus addressed it, which is what we're talking about the God kind of faith, all right? Jesus said to him, you say to me, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me. That's in the Amplified Version. All things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me. So what did Jesus now do immediately? Immediately, the father of the boy cried out with a desperate, piercing cry, saying, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You know, the King James Version says, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It was from this scripture we saw some principles. If I begin to doubt, if I'm staggering in faith, or if what I believe I'm struggling with, or I don't believe anymore, what should I do? And we're talking about faith in God. What should I do? From what we saw here, this man cried out to Jesus. He simply did not live in denial. He didn't try to act like he had faith. He admitted, I believe, but I'm struggling with what I believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. The first thing is be sincere, right? Come out, come open, be real. Tell God exactly that you are struggling and you don't believe. Admit it. You see, we forget that God knows our hearts. Even the thoughts that we don't verbalize, God hears. You know, and God is so wise, God is so knowing, that even if we say something and we don't mean it, he knows. Have you not read where it is written in the scriptures, where the Bible says, these people come to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's one thing these people are saying, it's another thing they believe in their hearts. True faith comes to that place where you are open with God. True faith in God does not deny the obvious, doesn't deny facts. No, you have to admit. So this man admitted, Lord, help me. I believe I'm struggling here. And when he came out clean, he came out open, he was sincere. So that's the first thing. Look, don't act it. Just tell God you are struggling with faith. You are doubting. You don't believe anymore. You know, sincerely. So Jesus, what did he now do? Remember what he asked him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can trust me, believe and trust me, then all things are possible for you. And then the Bible says, after the man came open and says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The Bible says in verse 25, when Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. He said to it, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then, verse 26, the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Remember, medical science will prescribe a tablet, some capsule, you know, and, you know, if you go for that therapy, physiotherapists will recommend, you know, do some physical exercises, do some breathing in, walk around the park and do all sorts. But Jesus recognized this was a spirit, and he simply spoke to that spirit. The God kind of faith, remember, speaks. What does it speak? It speaks the word of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus always cast out spirits by his word, by his word. Now, we're looking at the God kind of faith. How does the God kind of faith come? How do we get to the place where we have the same faith that God operates in and that God uses? Listen, it comes by the word of God we hear, the word of God we receive, we believe, we speak, and we act on. Faith comes by the word of God we hear, we receive, we believe, we speak, and then we act on it. Listen, Jesus, when you study Jesus, Jesus said, I don't just do anything. I'm paraphrasing. The only thing you will see me do is what I hear my Father, what I see, hear from my Father. That's what I do. So Jesus's faith comes by, he hears the Father, receives the word of the Father, because he and the Father are one, he believes every word he hears and simply speaks it. So what you see here was what the Father told Jesus to do. So that's the secret of, the real secret of the God kind of faith, is that we get to a place where we hear what God says. We hear it, we receive it, we believe it. Now your question is, how can I really hear God? Because that's one of the questions somebody asked. How do I know that this is exactly God speaking to me? Which is a very good question. But let's get this principle. We hear what God is saying. We receive what God is saying. We believe what God is saying. We speak what God is saying. And we act on it. So for us to hear what God is saying, that is where prayer comes in. Prayer is not you just coming, you know, in quote, in Christianese language, by faith, and you come to God to ask God for something and then you get it. No, prayer is you having a conversation, a dialogue with God, where you speak, God speaks. It's a two-way communication. The problem is, some people have been brought up to just talk to God, and they never are taught that God speaks to them. They talk to God, but they don't hear God speak to them. The real prayer, I tell you, what will change your prayer life, you know, that's another Christian language, is that you are in a place, you get to a place where, you know what, you engage God in a conversation. You hear him and he hears you. But let me tell you the secret. The secret is here. You come to God with nothing to hide. You tell God what is in your heart. You are open because God hears your heart. So last week we established something. If you want God to be real with you. Sorry, if you want God to be real to you, then you've got to first learn to be real with God. Don't come pretending. Look at this man. I'm struggling. I don't believe. Help my unbelief. It's when we come clean like that, that God, I'm telling you, when you tell God what is in your heart, that's when your heart, you've literally exposed your heart, brought yourself to a place where your heart is now receptive to what God wants to say. You are open. You are not hiding anything. You are not coming to God, you know, like the story of Ananias and Sapphira, where you are holding, they held back the portion of the land they claimed they sold and they said, no, this is everything. This is how much it's worth. No, you can't come to God that way and expect God to be real with you. You've got to learn to be open. Always speak the truth that is in your heart at every point in time when you're having a conversation. When you come to God, you know, people think that faith, that's not faith. When, you know, I come to God and I say, God, I doubt you. Listen, that itself is faith, because it takes faith for you to be able to even speak to a God you can't see. There's a knowing in you that is invisible. He hears you. He knows you. You can't hide anything, and you speak to him because, you know what? I can't even hide anything. So I better just say, come clean. Two men came to the temple. Jesus gave that parable. And one just got there, I pay my tithe, I do this, I do that, I do that. I'm not like this other guy who's a sinner. He was here. And, you know, he left, he went. The other one just came into the temple. He knew he was a sinner. He said, the Bible records that he couldn't even look up. He said, God, I am a sinner. Just have mercy on me, the sinner. Jesus said, the guy who came clean was the one who was justified before God. If you want to hear God, you always speak the truth in your heart and be ready to listen. Just tell him how it is. You know, for those of us who are saved, we use the word born again, you've received Jesus into your heart. How do you think you got the conviction to be able to confess your sins? Was it when you were in faith? Was it when you were a believer that you heard God, you had a conviction in your heart that you needed Jesus and you needed to confess your sins? No, God spoke to you in your unbelieving state, in your faithless state. You heard God. You had a conviction in your heart. God speaks. Listen, you think it's only prophets that God speaks to, or pastors, or, you know, people who are on the pulpit? No, sir. No, ma. God speaks to everyone. He speaks to unbelievers because he spoke to you first when you were an unbeliever. The Bible is, you know, all there. You see all the records of God speaking to people who didn't even know him. There's a man Jesus healed. He was 38 years old. He was by the pool of Bethesda, the Bible says. I don't know. You see, don't let me mix things up, but it was by the pool, that pool where angels were going, and whoever jumped into that pool, you know, came out first. That guy did not know Jesus. Jesus came to him and spoke to him. Spoke to the guy while the guy didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't even know who Jesus was because Jesus was kept talking to him. That's a kind of a parallel of the way we are. So you come to God clean. Jesus asked that man by the pool, do you want to be healed? Just asked him a question. And the guy kept on telling stories. You know, I've been by this pool, you know, angel comes in here. An unbeliever, let me use your Christian language. That guy was an unbeliever and he was having a conversation with Jesus, the Son of the living God. Came clean. And Jesus heard the guy's heart and told him, okay, you take up your bed, arise, take up your bed, and go home. An unbeliever, he heard. And do you know what he did? He actually received that word from that stranger he didn't know. He arose, picked up his bed, and he was made whole. That was an unbeliever that had an honest conversation and simply obeyed. Now, before we start taking the questions are coming right now. Let me just quickly read Romans chapter 14. I promised to read that to us because it's a story of Abraham and Sarah, which we saw last week, Abraham and Sarah. Let me quickly read it, and I will go straight into the questions you have tonight. Thank God, keep the questions coming. in Romans, it's Romans chapter 4. You know, as you're hearing this word, maybe you might be in some pain physically and all that. Just take these words. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. What do you believe? Just believe what God has said. You need to get to the place where you just hear what God has said. That's all you need, and you will have faith. You hear it, you receive it, you believe it, you speak it, you act on it, right? So in Romans chapter 4, I read from verse 16. Look at what happened here. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. Listen, even Abraham met God when he didn't know God. God spoke to Abraham when Abraham did not even know God, because he was living in idolatry, in the midst of an idolatrous nation, an idolatrous family. That's when God came to him, spoke to him, leave your father's house, leave your kindred. He obeyed. And the Bible said that's how he became the father of faith, because, listen, he didn't see God. He only heard, and he obeyed what he heard. Listen, it says, who is the father of all? I've made you father of many nations in the presence of whom you believe. Now, in verse 18 is where we're going. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. The King James Version says, who against hope believed in hope. Now, that's not a play of words. That is awesome. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now, who against hope believed in hope? Abraham, against every logic, right? Against every logic, he chose to hope in God. We'll explain that shortly, but let me read what happened next. I read this and it was interesting, verse 19. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That's the logic. He saw his body was dead. He's an old man. When he was about 100 years old, and look at it, even Sarah, his wife, she was in her 90s. Logic says, my body's dead. Sarah's womb is done. She's past menopause. But we choose to believe God, what God said. The key is to know what God said. Okay. And the Bible said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was the strongest faith, giving the glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was also able to perform. That is faith. Where you get to a point where you're fully persuaded. For God to say it, that means God can do it. Listen, God cannot lie. Impossible. So if God says something, that's the truth. If you get to a point where all I need to hear is what God said, and I will believe, then your faith journey has started. Okay, let's look at the questions that you have tonight. Okay, I have one question here. Let me start with the one that was sent before. How do you know if it's the devil quoting the scripture? Because we said that last week. How do I know? Because the devil knows the Bible. Okay, the devil quoted the Bible even to Jesus when he took him on top of the cliff and said, jump, because, you know, it is written in Psalm 91, he will give charge to his angels concerning you. Let me tell you how you know when it's the devil that is quoting the scriptures to you. Number one, go and read the scripture that you heard. Listen, go and read the scripture. Now, do one thing. Read it in its context. What do I mean? Read the texts before it, the pretexts, the text itself, the scripture you heard, and the scriptures after it. Then you will see the context of that scripture. When you get the story of that scripture, then check if it applies to your situation. Jesus was taken to the top of the cliff. Throw yourself down. It is written, he quoted the scripture. But in the context of that scripture, in Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And from that place, you can say, I will say of the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Surely shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You know, he shall give charge to his angels concerning me. They shall bear me up. So it's from the context of I am in God's secret place, not that I'm on the cliff and I'm going to jump, and that's when he will give charge to his angels. So the devil will quote the scripture out of context. So any scripture you hear, just check the scripture, search for it. Make sure you search for it. That's why you see logic. Go there and check the story. Does it apply to your situation? In what context was that scripture made? You know, he had a story of somebody who said, God, speak to me. Took the Bible, opened the Bible and said, whatever God I read is what God is saying. So he read it and said, and he read where he said, and Judas hung himself. He said, oh, wow, okay, I'm not Judas. He shook the Bible again and said, whatever I see again is God speaking to me. And then he opened the Bible and saw where it was written, go and do likewise. Was that not the scripture he read? But it was written out of, you know, out of context. So that may sound comical. Any scripture, because I tell you something, I've been guilty of this in the past before I began to have proper understanding, where you just take a scripture and quote it and preach a beautiful sermon out of that scripture. But sirs, mass, boys, girls, gentlemen, ladies, brothers, sisters, the scriptures, they sound sweet, but they're out of context. So that's how you know if it's the devil or even if it's your mind that just threw that scripture. Always go back and check the context, the pretext, the text, and the post-text, the scriptures after it. You get the whole Bible story. It's always good to follow the Bible story and see how it is applicable to you. All right, so questions. I am sick and someone asks how I'm feeling. Which is the faith type of answer? I'm sick, but God has healed me, or I am strong. Okay, that is one of the Christian languages we speak, where, you know, people will say, oh, somebody's sick, and then they ask them, how are you? Oh, I'm strong. Okay, there is a scripture that I know people use to come up with that. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. Please note that scripture. Let the weak say, I am strong. Remember what we do? We have to, first of all, be sincere. Faith does not ignore the fact. It says, let the weak say, which means the weak has to acknowledge that they are weak for them to say, I am strong. And you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am feeling weak, but I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am made whole. Everyone Jesus healed, when you look at it in the Bible, Jesus never went there, was in denial. The guy who was paralyzed, Jesus did not go there. You are not paralyzed in the name of the Father. You are not paralyzed. I say this in the name of you are not. No. He acknowledged their state and he spoke to their state. The guys possessed with the Spirit. Jesus says, no, you are not possessed with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, by faith, you are not possessed by the Spirit. You are not. That is where we mix things up. Faith, the Bible says, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. It didn't say faith calls the things that are as if they are not. There's a difference. Faith creates, it's creative. You speak the word of God and it happens. You speak it. It's not happening yet. You speak it, and then that's when it happens. Genesis 1. In the beginning, there was chaos. God didn't come on the face of the earth and say, oh, the earth, no, you're not without form. Earth, you're not void. Earth, you're not shapeless. No, he spoke what he wanted to happen to the earth. but acknowledged the earth was without form, void, and empty. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. You come, Jesus said, if you come, when you come to pray, you believe that the things you desire, you ask for, you believe you have received them, and you shall have them. It happens after. So don't, somebody's asking how you're feeling. Excuse me, let the weak say, I am feeling weak. God knows I'm weak. My body knows I'm weak. But in the name of Jesus, I receive healing because Jesus said, I am healed. The word of God says by the stripes of Jesus. So that's how to address things like that. Stop pretending. Faith is not, no. In Jesus' name, it's my enemy that has headache. I hear things like that. It's not scriptural. Listen, it may damage your theology, but let's look into the Bible. Don't stop living in denial. It helps nobody. Let us acknowledge the fact, right? Logically, accept the fact. Logically say, even though this is the fact, the word of God says that all things are possible to him that believes. What is the word that God is saying about this situation? That's the first thing we should look for. When somebody's sick, what does the word of God say about those who are sick? When somebody's weak, when somebody's oppressed of the devil, let's see how it addresses. So that's it. Am I really in faith? How do I know when I am? Simple. This is how you know if you are in faith. Did you hear, what word of God did you hear that you are acting on, that you know God spoke to you? Remember, faith is personal. It's got to be personal. The just shall live by his own personal faith. You can't live by somebody else's faith. Romans tells us in chapter 12, verse 3, God has given to every man a measure of faith. We all have faith at different levels. So don't live on somebody else's faith. Abraham was the one God spoke to, I will give you a child. Sarah heard that conversation between God and Abraham. She laughed. She didn't believe it. But later, when God addressed her, right? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Sarah herself now had to have that faith. Through faith, Sarah herself, when she had a conversation with God, she had God for herself, she conceived, because what God promised her, because God now told Sarah herself, conversation now, Sarah, you laughed, you're doubting me. Is there anything too hard for me, for the Lord? I created everything. Do you think I can create a baby in your womb, no matter how old you are? God had to have that sincere, honest, one-to-one conversation. The Bible now says Sarah herself, after she heard God for herself, now received strength to conceive. She conceived the word. Remember, the first thing you conceive is not something physical. You conceive what God has said. You conceive it. The faith, the word of God, you receive, you conceive, now becomes flesh. It begins to affect your physical body. Do you know how powerful words are? Words are so damaging that it can recreate somebody's mind. If you keep hearing what's negative, it will recreate your mind and you start thinking negative, behaving negative, and creating negative things. So how much more the word of God? You know, we receive words from people. We believe the words of man. Let me tell you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, anyone who comes to God must believe that he is. That's the key to faith. For you to first of all believe in the invisible God. Do you know how powerful it is to get to a place where a God you cannot see, you believe he exists? Believe me, that is really where it is. If you doubt the existence of God, you will doubt the word of God. But the first thing is God real to you? Does God really exist to you? Or so you are only acting because somebody said God exists? You've got to come to a personal place of revelation that God exists to you personally. I can teach, raise up children, tell them to pray to God. But these children must come to a place where they know to them, for them, God exists. So examine yourself. Do you really believe in God's existence? To start with, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. must believe, he that comes to God must believe that he is. You believe he is, and you believe he will speak to you. You need a word, just a word from God. That's where the faith is, where you know that this is God spoke to me, Sarah herself, you yourself. Okay? Hi, Pastor. Jesus said that some prayers, in order to be answered, need fasting. Does this mean that Jesus was always fasting? Listen, we need to understand that word fasting. In fact, in that same Mark chapter 9, that story, the story of Jesus casting out the spirit from the young boy. Later, the disciples came to him, his own disciples that he had walked with him. They asked him a question. Jesus, why could we not cast out that spirit? Jesus said, because, let's go back there. That's a good question. The person who asked that question, that's a very good question. Let's see what Jesus told them. Mark chapter 9, when they asked him, why could we not cast this devil out? All right? Mark chapter 9 and verse, you see, if you are feeling any pain in your body now, the first thing is God real to you? Is God with you there? Do you believe that God is real to you? If you believe God is real to you, you will believe anything he says. I tell you, you believe that God is real, you will start believing everything he says because it's invisible. For you to believe in the invisible, it takes a lot of faith. What you can't see, you believe, then you will start hearing him. Okay? All right, let's go to that scripture. This asked him, why could we not cast this? Mark chapter 9, verse 28. When he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately. Look at it now. One-to-one conversation where you hear God for yourself. You hear him clearly. They had a one-to-one conversation. Why could we not cast him out? Listen, is this not the sincerity and honesty we're talking about? Where you are sincere with God. Hey, I tried this, it failed. God, why did I fail? I tried, I exercised my faith. My faith failed me. God, is there something that is not happening? I have been praying over this matter for a long time. I've been asking you for this. I've been believing, trusting. Why is it not happening? Sincerity. Not that you keep on faking it till, you know, till you fake it till you make it. No. Sincerity. Sincerity. So they asked him a sincere question. One-on-one conversation. Because whatever Jesus says here is a direct word to them that will also improve their faith. Okay? Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Jesus answered them. This kind. Let me read the Amplified Version. Listen. Verse 29, it says, they asked, why could we not? It says, this kind of unclean spirit cannot come out by anything but prayer to the Father. That's what the Amplified says. But the King James says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So the question this person asked is, Jesus said that some prayers, in order to be answered, need fasting. Does this mean Jesus was always fasting? Listen, we need to understand what fasting is to start with, because we can even have a wrong concept of fasting. You see, the purpose of fasting is not because you want God to do something for you. You say, really? Oh, yes. It's not because you want God to do something for you. That's why if I fast, then God will do it. No. The purpose of fasting is also for fellowship, communion, where you deny yourself food, your physical body, where it helps your spirit, your mind, to be alert to hear God. God, I really want to hear you. So I'm putting away every distraction, because food can be a distraction. Drink can be a distraction. People can be a distraction. Your situation can actually distract you. So you wait on the Lord till you hear from God. It's for fellowship. It's for communion. When God was rebuking the Israel of old, I think it's somewhere in Isaiah, is it 58 or 54? He was telling them, you are fasting for the wrong reason. Is this the kind of fast that I want? this is the kind of fast I want. This is what I want you to do when you're fasting. Don't fast for strife. Don't fast for debate. Don't fast because you want this, you want that. Don't fast because you want to twist my hand to do something for you. No, you come to God to inquire. That is the very purpose of fasting, where you wait till you hear what God is saying. You want God to speak to you, to give you clarity over a matter. Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Jesus was always waiting on the Father. Waiting on the Father. Fasting, another word for fasting is waiting, where you wait until the Father gives you instruction. So to cast this kind of spirit out, you need to hear from God. That's, you know, in another way to put it. You don't just address, you see something, you don't know what's happening, God has not spoken to you how to address it, and you just think, you know, it's one way to fix everything. Not with God. It's not always one way. That's why you don't put your faith in somebody else's faith, because you don't know what God told them. And the way God deals with you is different from the way God deals with somebody else. God deals with every one of us as individuals, uniquely, because he's dealt to every one of us. He knows everybody's level of faith. Everybody's level of faith. The Bible talks about those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. At times, we operate in faith, but maybe God actually knows that you're not patient enough. And God wants to speak to you and teach you patience. And the only way you can learn patience, the Bible says, patient in tribulation. Trials usually build our patience. I tell you, if you suffer for long, because that's another word for patience, long suffering. If you suffer for long, you will learn how to wait for your turn. You wouldn't be in a hurry in life. You know, you will so much, you know what? I know God will come through and I'm ready to wait for him. You go into fasting, to fellowship, to wait on the Lord and all that. Of course, the Bible tells us Jesus fasted. But listen, how did Jesus fast? The very first fast. Do you know how? The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He did not eat for 40 days, 40 nights. He was led by the Spirit. So let our fasting be led by this, which means that the Spirit is leading you. You're following. When you are led, you follow. You have your will. Because if the Holy Spirit is leading, you can choose not to follow. You and I can choose not to follow. And our time is fast spent. You know, when we have these questions and answers, we have an extended time because we need to deal with these issues of faith. And I tell you, your faith is activated tonight. Check yourself now. You will see now that your body has started to amend. There's an excitement right inside you now that you know what? Something new is happening to me. I'm ready to start a new walk with God. I'm ready to believe God. For me to even believe a God I cannot see exists, come on, you are a giant of faith already. Because for you to believe he exists, you can't see him, then the next thing you need to do is to believe everything he says. You only need to hear what he's saying. I tell you, I am learning to stop struggling, to stop worrying. All I need to is to hear God. I get challenged, I have doubts, I just say, you know what, God, I'm doubting, help me. You know, like I'm struggling at times, I'm angry at people, I just tell them I'm angry. I'm not happy because this happened, that happened. I'm learning to be real with God. I have pain in my body. I'm telling God, look, this pain is still there. But you know what? I know you can heal me. I know you can heal me. And you know what? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got to a point, God, even if you don't deliver us, we are not going to deny you. We're not going to bow. Because that's how much you are worth. That's how much integrity we have in you. Even if you don't come forth and deliver us here now, it will not change our belief, trust in you. That is the faith. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says some of these guys listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they were only fully persuaded. The things they were expecting to appear physically did not even happen, but they were taken away because beyond this earth, there is eternity. And in eternity, there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, there will be no tears. Anyone who spends eternity with God, come on, will be whole. So all they needed was to be fully persuaded, like Abraham, hope against hope. What does that mean? Your hope, right? The difference between hope in physical things, hope, human hope, and godly hope. This is the difference. With human hope, it's like 50-50. Well, maybe it's happening. I'm hoping it will happen. I'm hoping. But the hope in God knows that it will happen. It's not 50-50. It has happened. So faith is the substance of things what hope for. You are hoping for it, but you already have the substance. It's like having a receipt. You purchase something. You order for it. You paid for it. You have the receipt. You have not seen it, but you are rejoicing like you've seen it. And guess what? That receipt is evidence you have it. Even if you die without it being delivered to you, the receipt certifies you are the rightful owner. That is the kind of faith those people in Hebrews chapter 11 had in God. They had the receipt. They only needed to hear his word, fully persuaded, receive it. And that was it, settled for them. You will see some people who, even in their sickness, they will die, but they will not deny their faith because they know beyond this earth, they are healed. They are going to resurrect their body. This body racked with sin and diseases is nothing. It's just the human, the earth suit where they live, but their real being will have absolutely no disease, no sickness. But I'm telling you, for as long as you're on this earth and you're operating here, just believe God. Okay? Let's see. And should we be fasting? Good question. I've just explained to you what fasting is. It's actually you coming apart to spend time in communion to hear God. You're not fasting because you want something. If there's anything you really want, is to want to hear God speak to you about a particular situation, if that is what you're fasting for. Know that, because God can actually tell you that what to do in that situation. I remember a time I was fasting and things like that, and I had a kind of a reoccurring health condition. And in the place of fasting, you won't believe this, God spoke to me that I should stop eating this, I should stop eating that. And I realized that was the solution. I heard God. So today I don't eat those things. I eat every other thing. I'm not, I can do without food. Maybe your problem actually is food. And that's why you need to fast. Because the food you are eating is killing you. So you need to deny yourself, hear God, and let God speak to you. God is so, the Bible says even the strand, one strand here, God cares for about us. So he's ready to speak to every situation. Okay, let me take the last question. How can I believe God for myself and not based on how I was brought up? That's it. Develop your own faith. Let your faith be based on the God you know personally, what God has told you personally, where you sit down, God, you and I, you made me, you created me, and I know you will speak to me. If God speaks to unbelievers, like we learned earlier, how much more you, a believer, is ready to speak. God is ready to speak more than you are ready to listen. I'm telling you. I just realized that I'm just running up and down. Yeah, when I'm tired and exhausted, I will remember I forgot to go to God. And I will go in repentance. God, sorry, I didn't ask you. Sorry, I didn't spend time with you. That is it. So that your faith, right? Like Paul said, look, when I preach, I'm paraphrasing what Paul said to the church at Corinth. When I preach, I don't want you, when you watch me, my preaching is not to entice you with words, to show you that I'm eloquent, charismatic, using the right metaphors. No, I don't want your faith to stand in the words, in the charisma, in the enticing words of man's wisdom. But my teaching was with a demonstration of the spirit and power of God. Where, you know what, I'm telling you, this is what God says, and you can see God confirming what God has said. Because what God confirms is what he says. What God will bring to pass is what he promised. What God will make happen is what he has said in his word. What he said, what he promised. Now, what you say, you know, you see people, they're talking as if God is their errand boy. If I say, God will do it. No, if God said it and you say it, that's what God does. Because there are some things people say and it happens, they think it's God. It's not, you made it happen. Come on, you said it. It's like faith in reverse gear. You made it happen, you think it's God. No, because God never said it originally. So that is it. Jesus is clear. Let Jesus be our example. Jesus waited on the Lord. If he fasted, we fast. How did he fast? Led by the Spirit. So let it be that when we are fasting, we are led by the Spirit. You declare a fast. Okay, Lord, I'm spending, because it's your will. The psalmist said, I humbled my soul with fasting, which means it's something you do intentionally. Yourself, you decided that, you know what? I'm going to abstain from food. I want to spend time with God. I want to hear God about this matter, about my life and all that. And by the way, we'll be having a 12 days annual retreat from the 20th of December to the 31st into the 1st of January 2021. 12 days to wait to hear what God is saying to us individually, to us as a family, to us as a church, and concerning the year 2021. See, some of us, I will say this with every conviction, some of us are enjoying this season with all the lockdown and COVID because we heard God tell us about this year before we entered it. So I think that's the last question. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for all your comments. Thank you. We've come to the end of this question and answer, right? It's not everything, and let me say this, it's not everything humanly as a human vessel that I know all the answers. That's why I always ask when I'm asked questions, I try to ask and listen. As I'm talking to you, I'm actually having an inner conversation with God so that I can give the right answers. That's one of the things that I've learned. It's not any secret, but that's just it. And let me say this, it's not every question that I have all the answers. That is why I will always point everyone back to the Bible, point you back to God. So if there's anything said tonight you're not clear about, you disagree with, go to God in prayers. Go to God in prayers. The Bible says that even prophets, anyone who even prophesies can only prophesy in part. And when that which is perfect is come, God is the one who's perfect. So if we say something is just a part of it, you're going to get the full picture from God. God bless you tonight. Thank you for staying till the end. And I pray all your questions, God will answer. If anything tonight, be provoked to take those questions to God and tell him to speak to you from his word. Let us pray. Father, to you be all the glory. To you be all the glory. I pray right now, as your word has been released, confirm every word with signs following. To anyone in any form of pain, invisible, immortal, the only wise God, in your power and your wisdom, as your word has gone forth, that does not return to you void. I pray in the name of Jesus that every body, that body, that pain goes in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are healed because God said so. You are amending from this very moment because God said so. That disease will disappear from your body from this moment because God said so. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Because God said, is any afflicted, let him pray. And right now, I join you in prayers. Every affliction leaves your body. Every pain goes in the name of Jesus. Because God said so. Every possible situation, everything that logically is impossible right now, circumstances that logic says impossible right now, because God said it is possible, I say in the name of Jesus, let those impossible circumstances start changing, situations start changing and become possible, possible because God said so, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.